الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم وقال تعالى في مقام آخر وأتوا البيوت من أبوابها أو كما قال تعالى صدق الله العظيم وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما الدنيا في الآخرة إلا مثل يجعل أحدكم إصبعه في اليم فلينظر بما يرجع أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the blessed tawfiq, for allowing us to come to this noble day of Jum'ah. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts Jum'ah from us, He accepts it from all the Muslimin all over the world. He gives the solutions to all the problems for all the Muslimin, whatever they're suffering through, may Allah cure them, may Allah give them afiyah from their suffering. Whatever problems they're facing, may Allah give them the solutions that they need. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He make us proper da'is, proper inviters to His way, in whatever possible way that we can do, inshallah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala accept from all of us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this life, this opportunity. And everyone should take this life as an opportunity, a fursa. Every day that we wake up from sleep and we wake up for a fajr salah, alhamdulillah, ladhi ahyana ba'da ma matana wa lihi nushur. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us life after death, and to Him will be the resurrection, the one day that we will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to remind ourselves, in this short amount of time, Allah has given us the provisions that we need. The house that we have obtained is from Allah, the clothing that we have is from Allah, the food that we have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's always been providing for us behind the hijab, behind the partition, behind the veil between us and Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is the Razzaq, He's the one who provides. He gives us this life, the breaths that we have, the mind that we have, the capabilities that we have, the functions that we have, the job that we have, everything we have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill the right of this deen of Islam. He wanted us to accept this Islam, this kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And then He wants that we reflect and we think about what is the purpose of our life. Some of us have already understood this message. And so because of that, they live a life which is deeni oriented. That their life is circled around this deen. That they look for whatever Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say. And they look to how to implement that in their lives and teach it to others. And there are certain other ones of us, some others who haven't woken up to this reality yet, who have not understood this reality. And so they're still going around this world thinking that this world is the maqsad, this world is the goal. And we have to remind ourselves over and over and over again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَانْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the end of Surah Al-Hashr, He said, oh, those of you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have taqwa of Allah. وَانْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. And every person should look, every person should see, every person should examine to what he has presented for tomorrow. What has he given for tomorrow? مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. And the tomorrow here by majority of the Mufassireen is talking about the Day of Judgment. What a person has presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the real value of a person's life. People consider their life to be valued according to how big their bank account is, or how many children they may have, or how many cars they have, or how many houses they may have. And they consider their net worth accordingly. And the people of dunya, they consider their net worth according to these things as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say that's the value of insan. The value of a human being, the value of a human being is that when they come on the Day of Judgment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them, what did you present here? And Allah, we can say to Allah, Ya Allah, I have this bank account in the back. I have this back home. And I can bring it here if you let me go back into the dunya. And this will happen on the Day of Judgment where people will beg Allah. Say, Ya Rabbi, irji'ni. Let me go back so I can bring you whatever I had there. But no one is allowed to go back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tell me what you brought here now. What is the investment you made in front of me subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah ta'ala is asking, what is the investment we brought in front of Him? And everyone needs to ask themselves this question. Everyone needs to ask themselves this question. How much have I invested for Allah ta'ala? What have I presented to Him? Some people may come on the Day of Judgment with absolutely nothing. May Allah save us and protect us from that. Some people will come on Qiyamah with nothing, no investment, nothing to show Allah ta'ala. And there will be certain people who will say, Ya Allah, I prayed the five times. I fasted in Ramadan. I gave my zakah. I did my ibadah. And then they'll find that certain things are cut because the prayer wasn't as good as it should be. The zakah wasn't as good as it should be. The fasting wasn't good as it should be. There are certain other people who will stand up on the day of judgment and say, "Ya Allah, I have a lot of nawafil too. I prayed a lot of nafil prayers." So Allah will say, "This will cut it. This will fix the fard. This will fix the fasting. This will fix the zakah." Because the sadaqah that a person gives fixes the damages in their zakat. That they fast more nafil fasts will fix the fasting of Ramadan. And that they pray more nafil prayers will fix the fard prayer inshaAllah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala tells the angels specifically, when a person's prayers are a little weak, they got half the reward because they were thinking of this and that. They got a fourth or a fifth or a sixth or whatever it might be. Some people might even end up with 1/100th in the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People end up with less and less and less. So Allah ta'ala will tell the angels, look at his nawafil, look at his nafil. If he can fix it through that, let's fix it through that. So a person prays his sunan, a person prays his nawafil. Maybe this person inshallah will be successful. Another person will stand up and say, "Ya Allah, I started a masjid. Because I had yaqeen that my prayer wasn't good enough. So I thought, let me just make a place where you are worshipped, Ya Rabbul Alameen." So his life was just about making sure this masjid was operating properly. Another person will stand and say, "Ya Allah, I came with the madrasa. Because I knew that those people who give Jumu'ah and give the khutbah and teach people, I know that they will have a right in front of you. I don't have anything to say." So he built a madrasa. A person will say, "Ya Allah, I stood up, I'm standing up because I wanted to be a maktab teacher. And I taught these little kids because I knew that one day maybe this kid will become a 5 times prayer. He'll come to masjid 5 times a day. This person might become a maulana. He might become an alim. This person might become a doctor. He might become a hafiz. He might become this and this and this. And I know if I lay down the foundation, I'll get the swab of every single one of them." That's the beauty of becoming a maktab teacher, a person of ta'aleem. People undermine the work. They think, what's the benefit of that? The benefit is this, that once upon a time, you know, when I go back to New York, there's a certain teacher I meet, a Qari Sahib. This Qari Sahib was very old. This Qari Sahib had the Danda Sharif. Everyone understands that. He had this, and he used to teach us very strictly in the masjid, the weekend school that we used to go to. He used to teach me Alibata Sa. And now he comes in front, when I go in front of him, I come like a little child, give him salam. And he goes and says, "You don't even remember how annoying you were when you were 4 years old. And you used to come here. And now look at you now. And now everything that you're doing is mine." That's the benefit of becoming, a person will raise on the day and say, "Ya Allah, I taught these children. A person will say, "Ya Allah, I started a well in Africa. Ya Allah, I wanted to give clothing to such and such kids in Syria. Ya Allah, I made this party to help free the people of Kashmir. I made this and that." And people will stand up with such noble ambitions, such high himmah. People will stand up and just say, I was trying to do this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward such people. You and I will be ashamed that we came from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's effort is communal. He is someone who works for the community, not individuals. We are not in the right Ummah when we think, "I'm just doing my 5 times. People will be punished accordingly. Allah, it's hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I quoted it the last Jumu'ah I was with everyone. That Allah Ta'ala will punish a community. Allah Ta'ala says about the... It's hadith Qudsi, hadith of Ahmad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah Ta'ala tells Jibreel, "Oh Jibreel, destroy such and such a town. Bring a punishment on it. Earthquake, a flood, a hurricane. Bring a punishment down on this town." And Jibreel alayhi wa sallam says, "Ya Allah, I went down there and I saw one person there who's never disobeyed you for a single moment, not even a blink of an eye. Not for a tarfata ayn. Lam ya'sika tarfata ayn. He never disobeyed you for a blink of an eye." And Allah says, start with him first. Flip the town on him. Because he never even once, he saw disobedience in this community, and he even never once even looked at it with any type of hatred towards it. This is the reality of this ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, that you and I need to think about what we're doing for the community. What are we doing for the community? How are we benefiting people? How are we making a change in the world? People have to look at the taghayyur. We're just playing fantasy football our entire lives. We're just watching Netflix our entire lives. We're trying to just look at like the bride we were when we first got married and make sure everyone looks like every single day looks like the bride I was on the first day. Because we can't move forward with life. We can't change. People need to recognize for themselves. I need to recognize for myself, what have I brought in front of Allah? If you and I come on Qiyamah, and we're presented from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because you and I, bayshak, we will be in front of him alayhi salatu wasalam. In front of the Awd al-Kawthar. When you're drinking from the Mubarak hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he looks at us and he will say, what have you done for the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
What is our jawab? What is our answer? What is our response? And people should not say, but what can I do? But what can I do? Because if you're asking that question, your iman is not even correct there. You cannot do anything. You cannot do anything. Nuruddin Zangi, rahimahullah ta'ala, and I'll mention him in a second inshallah. When he went onto the battlefield and he fought, he was such a person, he used to bring two bows with him. Because one of them he used to fire and fire and fire till that bow string used to break, the bow handle used to snap, and he used to be completely finished, so he had to bring another one to fight again. And so they asked him, he said, oh Nuruddin Zangi, you're such a great defender of Islam. You're such a great defender of Islam. And he goes and says, how dare you say such a word? Allah Ta'ala is the only defender of this Islam. Who is this Mahmud, Nuruddin Zangi? Who is this Mahmud? He's a nobody. Allah Ta'ala defends his deen with whatever he wants. You and I have to recognize that your job and my job is not to go and say, what can I do? Your job and my job is to work like a peasant, work like a farmer, to talk like a businessman, to work like a farmer as hard as we can and trust Allah Ta'ala, to talk like a businessman, sell the product that you have. Sell the product that you have. You want people, inshallah, to donate, to give sadaqah, such and such a project, you need to learn to talk to them and speak to them. You want kids to go to your madrasa, learn to talk to them. To help build a masjid of Allah, learn to talk to them. Well, you need to talk like a businessman. You need to come to work like a person who has a job at an office. This job is a daily thing. Unfortunately today, and we see this, when people are called to come out for the work of da'wah, they come late. They come, you know, they say, I can't make it today. They haven't taken it as their job, that's why. They've not taken it as an office responsibility. Their boss is Allah Ta'ala. If your job at work, you go and say, sorry boss, I'm coming 2 hours late. Please forgive me. You're not keeping your job. You're not keeping your job. If you did that 3 or 4 times, you're out. When we come to work for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, what happens? We go and say, Allah, I can't make it today. Allah, I'm too busy today. Allah, I don't want to do it today. What does it show Allah? Does He want? He has many other workers. He can choose anyone else in this community. We need to work like farmers. We need to speak like businessmen. We need to come to work like office workers. And we need to make dua like the faqir. We need to make dua like the faqir. Your job and my job is not that we just go and say, what can I do? We can't even do anything anyways. Your job is just to pick something. Pick something in life that you want to change. Look at something in the world you want to change. Don't come into this world, this dunya, that you came into the womb of your mother. You were raised by your mother and your father. And then you came only to earn money. To find out that this money on Qiyamah has no benefit, no currency exchange. You only find out that the Ajidna Hasanat have currency on that day. If you go to any other country and you bring any other currency, you might find that they don't accept that currency. On the Day of Judgment, what's going to happen is, people are going to try to say, I brought all these dollars, but you never transacted it, you never gave it infaq fi sabilillah. So there was no currency exchange there. We have to make sure we have these hasanat. Your job and my job is what? Number one, just pick something with your life that you want to make this your goal. I will change it, inshallah. Just say, inshallah, I will change it. And then make it the highest ambition. You shoot as high as you can. You shoot for the stars, they say in English, you shoot for the stars, you end up on the moon. You go as high as you can. You tell yourself, ulul himam, having high ambition, that's how you change something. Amr ibn Abasa, radiallahu anhu, one sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he comes in the first year of Islam. He sees, he is someone who comes from a different tribe, he's not from Makkah. He comes into Makkah, and he hears that there's a man going around preaching the oneness of Allah, and that we will die one day. And then we have to raise in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amr, his name is Amr. He goes and says, I hated worshipping idols anyways. I hated the practices of my community. I hated all this stuff. And I heard this man is preaching about the oneness of Allah. I was so excited. So he goes to him. And he used to brag about it. He used to say, I'm the fourth person who accepted Islam. I'm the fourth person who accepted Islam. He says, after Khadija, after Abu Bakr and Bilal radiallahu anhuma, he says, I was the fourth person. So he goes around, he finds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He talks to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rabbi, O Muhammad, what have you brought? He says, I brought that you worship only Allah, don't make any shirk, and keep good family ties. Amr ibn Abbas says, this is amazing. I want to accept this Islam. He's the fourth person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, you can accept it, but go back home, don't stay here. Go back home, don't stay here. And it's a very unique thing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. He looks at the convert. And he treats every convert with due diligence, not just the same blanket thing. We often treat converts exactly the same way, but everyone is a unique individual. You have to treat everyone like an individual. When you treat them as an individual, they learn to respect you, and then they actually take your message. So Amr ibn Abbas is told to go back to your tribe, and the Prophet said, wait till you hear me that I conquered Makkah and Medina. So wait till you hear that I conquered everything. Once you hear about my dominance, then come back. This is year one. This is Abu Bakr and Bilal. There's no Umar radiallahu anhu, there's no Hamza radiallahu anhu. There's no one who's in Islam. He only has three people, plus Umar. That's four people in his own family, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling him, just wait till you hear about me dominating. Once you hear my dominance, then come back to me. Amr ibn Abbas is checking all the messages. He's reading all the WhatsApp and the Twitter pages, everything. He's checking. He's checking for when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's conquered. So he hears that he conquered Medina. And he comes back, he says, "Oh Muhammad," he says, "Ya Rasulullah, do you remember me? It's been 13 years. He said, "Yeah, I remember you. You were such and such person I met 13 years ago back in Mecca." He said, "Ya Rasulullah, you told me to wait and now I'm here. Why am I mentioning this story?" It's because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca has, you know, he's a prophet of course, but he's teaching the Ummah something. To have a very high goal. Have a very high goal. At this stage in Islam, you can't even know where it's going to go. It's like five people who accepted the message. And you can be squashed and destroyed at any instant. But the Prophet ﷺ has such a goal. He says, "You know what? We're going to conquer Medina and Mecca one day. You come back at that time." This is what Nabi ﷺ is teaching us. Where do we find this? In Nuruddin Zengi, rahimahullah ta'ala. What I just mentioned. If you know him, if you don't know him, he was a man who was the governor of the area of Halab in the area of Syria, in Damascus. And so Nuruddin Zengi was a great warrior and he was a great governor. But he wasn't an alim of deen. He was in the era, the time of when the crusaders were there. And people think that in this time, in this ummah now, we're going through hard times. We are not going through difficult times compared to the past. They had much more difficult times. Much more difficult times. In the time of the crusaders, when they came into the area of Jerusalem, in the area of Quds, They killed whatever they could see. The historians, their historians say that the horses that were riding through the city had they were up to their knees deep in blood because of how many people they killed. And there's so many atrocities that they've done, which I can't even mention in the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nuruddin Zengi is hearing about this. He lives at their time. He's working to defeat the crusaders. He's working to free Jerusalem. And he's working and working, but he's not an alim of deen. So what he does is what? He builds institutions, madaris. He builds all these different madrasas in the area of Halab, in the area of Damascus, in the area of Syria. He builds all these different madaris. He says that one of these students will grow. And one of these students might be the one to actually conquer Jerusalem. And what does he do? At that time, he builds this beautiful mimbar. He builds this beautiful mimbar. This mimbar, mashallah, is adorned with all these jewels. It's crafted out of the finest wood. It's an exquisite mimbar. And what does he say? He says that this mimbar is for the day that we enter Masjid al-Aqsa. I want the Khatib to give Jummah on this. After he dies, after Salahuddin Ayyubi that you and I know about, the conqueror of Jerusalem, he is his student, Nuruddin Zengi's student. 20 years later, Salahuddin Ayyubi goes and he conquers and he opens the Masjid again. And the first Jummah is prayed in there after like 80 or 90 years. Nuruddin Zengi, he says... Where's the mimbar? Where's the mimbar? Nuruddin Zengi's mimbar is brought from Halab, is brought all the way to Jerusalem, and then they put it in the masjid. And because he said, "My teacher wanted this to be here." Nuruddin Zengi had no idea he was going to conquer it in his life. He just made sure that there will be something there that he'll get thawab from. Such a high goal he had. We can look at even modern examples. Mawla Ilyas rahimahullah ta'ala, we talk about him so much. Mawla Ilyas rahimahullah in the work of Da'wat and Tabligh. He used to sit in Nizamuddin and he used to look up. It only used to be one floor at that time. He looks up and he says, "The second floor will have the foreigners. The people who come from UK and America will be here. And the people who come from this country will be here. And this country will be here." And everyone's just like, you know, Mawlana Sahib is getting kind of old. Maybe he's not recognizing that there's no floor there. But Mawlana Sahib is looking at the future. He has a very high goal. He has a very high dream. He says one day that this work will spread, that even foreigners, Americans and people from Europe will do this work as well. He said, "Look at airplanes going by," because that's the time of aero travel started at that time. At air travel started. So he looked at the planes and said, "One day Jamaat will go on these planes as well." That's the type of person that we should have been. Not just worrying about how much money can I make, but what kind of change can I make in the world. This can only happen, my brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, when you decide to change your focus of life. If my focus is to make dollars, then have yaqeen on the day of judgment, your dollars will do no benefit. They will not do any benefit. You can make yaqeen, inshallah, I will raise investment, I'll raise some product, I'll raise something that I can show Allah Ta'ala. I want to build this type of thing, I want to make this. Even now today in Burlington, you know, like they're still celebrating Columbus Day, for God's sakes. You know, like, what What kind of nonsense? It's a holiday. A federal holiday that you're celebrating a man who killed so many people. Right? Who came to America not in a nice way. And they're torturing and butchering people. And yet we still don't have a holiday for our Eid, for example. It should make us think that what can I do to change that reality? Or that the fact that our students here, our kids here, still don't have any sports activities. And people keep coming to me and says, Mawlana Sahib, please, that basketball thing was great. This thing was great, that thing was great. I just tell you honestly, I just don't have the time. How much time can I give? You know, how much time can we give? You know, you're only one human being. If someone else wants to start it, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I'll make dua for you. We'll work together, we'll make the project solid and gold. That after you die, there'll still be kids playing basketball and sports and everything with Muslim children, inshallah. You have to make that goal though. You have to change your life, the attitude that we have. If we still want to be the bride like we were on the first day after having kids and children and still thinking that I can still live the party life that I wanted, you have to reorient, rethink your life, inshallah. May Allah give us that tawfiq and hidayah to live a life according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have a very high goal in mind, a goal that will change. Nuruddin Zengi had no idea in his life it would be that Jerusalem will be conquered, but he had a high goal. Perhaps you and I just making a goal in mind. Syria will be freed. That Jerusalem will be freed again. That Kashmir will be freed. That you just make a high goal in mind and you work towards it. You make dua for it. And maybe on the day of judgment you get the thawab, inshallah. May Allah give us that tawfiq and hidayah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For those in the next one, I can do so, inshallah.